I'm opening up the agenda now, though I don't plan to follow it too much.
I take instructions from one person under protest. Can we do it again? Why? That was perfect.
Rob is a master editor.
What do I know?
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 56th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for late June 2016. In this episode, Coach Jack and I show off what we've been working on since we dove into Infestation, as well as have a conversation about units we like and don't like in version 2 of the game. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now on to the episode.
And welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. This is episode 56, a culmination of Infestation. All our models, all our minis are in our grubby hands, and we're going to let you know what we've done. With us today is my partner, Rob.
Yellow.
And returning yet again for yet another episode of Coach Splendor, our friend Coach.
What's up, yo?
Nice. So, Rob, take it away.
Yep, this is a special one since we do have Infestation, and we've all been playing with it for probably about a month now, I think. Has it been about that? Yeah, I think so. And all of us got stuff done, or at least got stuff started we can talk about. And, yeah, just going to be showing off stuff we've accomplished and talking about the miniatures and catching up on all the fun stuff that we like to talk about. And, yeah, so... Who wants to start talking about their stuff first? I'll get my stuff out of the way first, then. I did my Veermen, and I did my Enforcers. And the Veermen, I was thinking about a color scheme, and it was taking me forever to figure it out. And then I decided that they should be wearing like those green hazard vests we were always talking about for the dwarves that we're going to do. But it's going to be the green with the silver lining, like it's the reflective tape on them. So I started doing that, but then they looked way too bright, so I dirtied them up. I made them really dirty, and that's what I did for my Veermen. So it's all leather and green, lime green. And once again, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, and there's going to be quite a few pictures in this one, I think. And for the Veermen, I enjoyed putting them together, and I think I liked them a lot, even the little guys.
What'd you use on the bases?
Those are actually Cool Mini or Not. Are they made resin bases, and I got them for our we got the Wrath of Kings Kickstarter, but we used them for Kings of War, and they're like supposed to be like lava kind of chaos bases, but I painted them up like rock, trying to blend it in with the new board, trying to give it a red tinge. So that's what those are. They're like rocky, and they're kind of cool. Yeah, I even put the gun on a base because I was like, eh, might as well. And that was my Veermen. And I also did some Enforcers. And for the Enforcers, I went the easy route because I just primed them all chrome. They start off bright chrome, and then I just washed them and gave them blue highlights. And I repositioned the gun on the forward observer. I gave him a more dynamic kind of cool man pose. And the jet bikes.
So that's chrome spray paint?
Yep, chrome spray paint. That was the base.
Is that spray paint or airbrush?
Spray paint. Just chrome spray paint.
Is that hobby spray paint or like automotive spray paint?
Automotive regular spray paint.
Really?
We were scared of it, and then somebody else did it for their, I think they did their Starians with it. And then I tested it on a Enforcer Captain, and it worked out cool. So then I was like, yeah, might as well do it for these guys. And with the jet bikes, I kind of screwed up their ends because I put I glued them down to a base to prime them, and then the glue I couldn't get off, so I was like, screw it. Then I made hot glue, and turned them into jet plumes coming out their butts there.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's just like a glue gun, and then you just painted the exterior of the glue gun like
orange spray paint once again. That's why I got that little bit of glow effect on the back ends of them. Because I didn't want to break out my airbrush, so I was doing everything with spray paint cans on this one.
And, the old paddle can.
And I think I think they turned out pretty fun. And I do like my Pathfinders, because they got this sci-fi kind of look to them with their chrome breastplates. Overall, I was happy with them. And then I had some Peacekeepers at the end there. Oh, and then for my Strider, I think it was Jeff Burbage. For his Striders, he repositioned the arms, the hands for the Genling, the big rifle, so that he's holding it up. And then I had to make a new hand for the other side, so I had one of the rat hands. I turned it into I green stuffed it up and turned it into a hand for my Strider. So now he's got his hand and the Genling gun pointed in the air, because I like the one-handed use of the gun. And then people were talking about on Facebook about giving two chainsaws. That's definitely something I'd like to try. Get another chainsaw and make that two-handed chainsaws.
Mm-hmm.
But that's overall. Mine's out of the way, so I don't want to talk about mine anymore.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast with your hosts, Jack Fike and Rob Harper. The Dead Zone Podcast is dedicated to Dead Zone, the tabletop miniature game by Mantic Games. Visit them at manticgames.com.
Hey, this is Pat Lewis, North American Community Manager for Mantic Games, and you are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast.
So, Jack, what have you been up to?
Let's see here. I got the Peacekeepers, and I've blocked them in. A couple of them are like a green camo, kind of like a stock. None of them will be in the same positions as they're supposed to be, but they're the one with the cape, the hood, all cammed up. But two of them, I decided to make the same color as the new, like the Martian red of the new infestation mat. And I'll tell you, they looked goddamn ridiculous. So, because the mat you think is really red, but it's more tan. So I had to go back, and they're blocked in. The picture that you're going to see if you go to our website is going to be them a work in progress. But I've built two jet bikes and primed them. A whole bunch of Veermen, built them, primed them. The only thing I haven't built yet is the Aberration.
Oh yeah, you're saving that. Still, you're like you're waiting to get into that one as your coup de grace.
Yeah, I think that's when I'm like, okay, I've got all the time in the world, because I really want to make him look different. I want to position him up and do something that really makes him stand out. Now, as for painting, the only thing that I will have had basically done is one of the Veermen Nightmares and a handful of the Pathfinders, and then that's it. I'm looking forward to painting. I got the little Veermen that goes on the weapon that rides the
The gun that I made. You got the guy, the operator.
You mean the Wiener Cannon?
The Wiener Cannon.
How'd you get the beeves above the Franks?
I'm looking forward to painting him and the little guy, the observer, just because I know that Rob painted the cannon, so I want to just, like, we'll see
how well they fit together.
How well they do or do not fit together.
What and, color scheme did you use for your Veermen?
The one nightmare that I've done is a dark brown fur, highly he'll match your Forge Fathers in the metallic-y spectrum rather than, say, your neon green hazard vest type thing.
Yeah.
I've only painted one nightmare, so who knows? Maybe he'll be garish like a Bordello, but right now I'm looking at metallics on the armor, because they're nightmares anyways are highly metallic, like highly armored.
Yeah.
I will say about the Veermen, the the ones that came with Warpath. I think I may have mentioned this on the Dead Zone Monthly when we were recording that. The ones that came with Warpath that had the round bases, you could tell were older. They were smaller, like little petite little things, but the details, they had a lot of details on them, and they're just even priming them. When I prime, I do a gray, and then I mist the top with white to kind of assist me seeing where I got to do my highlights. And when I dry brush up, I can see where it just, I don't know if it's just laziness on my part. I don't want to look and go, hey, that light get hit in there. But even just giving my dusting of the white from the rattle can, all these details popped up. And then the other ones, the other smaller ones that are new for Infestation, they don't have the same level of detail. They're much different. I don't know. And
they're quite a bit bigger too, aren't they?
They're quite a bit bigger, yeah. But the one thing when I built all of mine, even I did Enforcers too. I've got a unit of Enforcers, which I built them on Dead Zone Monthly, last episode, episode 4, was it? Oh,
that was three.
Three. I put them together on the air there, and yeah. So,
and what color scheme did you do for the? You said you painted Pathfinders.
Yeah, like I said, the
camouflage more.
A couple of them are green camouflage. Now I have them all on bases that I sculpted myself, so they're all on like a. Looks like ruined machinery and nonsense. But the Pathfinders, so far, I've got them blocked in, and I'm starting to do, like, I'm dry brushing up. Two of them are really camouflaged. One's heading in that direction, like a green. But two of them are reddish, tan, matching the new.
Yeah, you're going to keep that color, or you're going to tone it down, or what?
I had to... What I had to do was make them look more reddish, Martian-y color. The tans and stuff, it looked like, I don't know, just blah.
Yeah.
So now it doesn't match the camouflage of the mat. They don't blend in, but they look, and they'll stay that way, I'm pretty sure.
And so far, what's the favorite model you've put together?
That I've built? That I'm looking forward to painting because I built him and he looks, I don't know. I went two knives and two guns on a couple guys. Just, I like to go just stock. Like, the Enforcers, they had these big chain guns and flamers and stuff, but I made them all with the same, the basic weapons and stuff. But I think I got a little wild with, a couple of them where I had to like resculpt hands and stuff. I don't know. That's a hard question. Maybe the speeder bikes. I did do two speeder bikes, and maybe I would do that. I would say that I'm looking forward to that because I'm.
Yeah, and you're kind of anti vehicle. Am I changing? Am I turning you around towards pro vehicleness?
No. I will just go so far as to say that there's so many things to choose. I'm a kid to candy store right now, so to pick one, it's a hard question. And I'll let you know. If I really, really enjoy painting one, if I really, like, if it's dynamite, then I'll let everyone know.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have future ones where we show off more of the miniatures we've completed that we'll go into more depth into how you felt about them there. And is there anything else you put together?
No, everything's put together and primed now.
That's good. That's a start for you. That's like a major accomplishment. Usually that takes years.
Yeah, but now I know I literally have a coach, you know, prodding me on saying, come on, let's do some hobbying. Let's hang out. So
that's true.
You know, if you're going to hobby, you got to have a reason to hobby, you know? So it's like, well, we're going to do the Dead Zone Monthly. You might as well get some work done. And, it's a good motivation because it's like, all right, what'd you guys do? And we were all comparing that night. You know, what did you do? Oh, I did this. I did that. I did this. I did that. So, you know, it was very cool because we're all doing the same thing.
Exactly. And we were doing it as we were talking. So even if we hadn't gotten anything done, even if all it accomplished was us sitting, shooting the shit, and hobbying. That's still a win in my books.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And then, you know, we had Pat on too, and Pat's been like, you know, in his GW days, he was telling us a few of the artists that he learned from, and they're like old Golden Demon winners. So it's, you know, he's a good guy to pick his brain about how to paint and hobby and stuff. So, you know, it was awesome all around.
Agreed.
It's time to enter the Strike Zone.
The Strike Zone podcast is the ultimate guide to the miniature sports game, Dreadball. From the ringside seats of an underground Dreadball Extreme match to the glitz and glamour of Dreadball Classic, the Strike Zone strives to bring you the latest and greatest Dreadball has to offer. I am your host, Adam, a.k.a. Mr. Voxman, and you can find out more at warmoreradio.com.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast.
So, we'll move on to you, Coach. I'm sure you have a lot to say about what you've been doing because we know you love these models.
Oh, so, yeah.
Let us know. What's up with you?
Honestly, what I finished, what I was happy to get done was before Infestation came, I started thinking about what I should do with my Enforcer. So, I went with like a desert camo theme. And, you know, those are the ones I use in the battle reports and on Twitter and whatever, you know, all that stuff. Right? Jack, you know about that stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm on the Facebooks all the time.
Okay. So what I did was I took a Strider and I started doing it with the desert camo. And I started to go to town and put bullet holes in them. And I really liked the way it came out, the bullet holes and the kind of grime streaking from it. And so that, and then, right, you know, waiting for Infestation to come, I'm like, all right, I'm going to try to do as much Dead Zone as I can. So I did all my Enforcers, all my Peacekeepers, and the Strider, and then the Nightmares, which Jackie was saying how much you like those, which are now, I guess, Creepers and Stalkers. But I did those, and I'm going with a red theme on the Veermen, but they're like mole like albino, so they're whitish skin, like a white skin, and all the eyes are pink. So I'm going with that, you know, like, because I think that, you know,
like experiments, I know, kind of.
Yeah, but you know, I when I see the rats, when I see the vermin, I see moles. I don't really see rats. And
yeah, Jack's always said that about them, that they're more molish than radish. Yeah,
yeah, because I remember Jack said it, and I was like, you know, we're on the same wavelength, because that's the way I see them. Like they're, you know, like, oh no, the sunlight, you know, and they run on the ground and stuff. And, you know, they only come out at night mostly. So, you know, that's the way I've been painting them. But I'm right now doing my Pathfinders. I'm getting them done in the, you know, the desert camo theme. And what I'm looking forward to, and I built all the Veermen, the Aberration, the, Nikolovsky and stuff, you know, and I have everything, all the rats, all the little guys primed, the big guys are primed, the wiener cannon, all that stuff is all primed, but I haven't gotten to work on it because I want to get the Enforcers done.
What color do you prime your stuff?
I go with a sandable primer from an auto parts store, and I prime them in white, and unless I'm doing metal, which I prime in black. Because, yeah, if you prime it in white, then the metal doesn't come out. I don't like the way it comes out. I like to prime it in black, and then you put a few things of metal on top of it. And so, like, if I'm going to paint metal on anything, say one model's got little metal pieces on it, I'll paint it black and then paint the metal on it because it looks better that way.
Yeah.
You know, it just, you know, the base coat is very important. A lot of people don't base coat that much, but, you know, like put our emphasis on base coating, but I think it's either white or gray for a light model, and if you're going dark model, obviously black. And priming yellow, you know, if you're going to paint yellow, black is a good prime color for it because it, for some reason, stands out better. Hmm. So, you know, those little tips of the trade that I've learned in my travels.
And but, for your Veermen, the red, is it what color red? Is it really bright or is it more muted?
I'll tell you the exact color. It is, you guys have hobby books?
What's that?
I have a book that I like an artist book. You know, it's got that textured paper to it that you can like draw in it. It's for, basically for
watercolor.
Yeah, but you know, like a sketchbook.
Oh, okay.
So what I do is I write down everything in.
Look at this guy. He's a professional.
Yeah. So now it's like, you know, when I go back, all right. So like I'm doing my Desert Enforcers. What colors are those? So I sort of, this is all Minotaur, ancient bone. And that's my base. And then I go bark and dark leather for the spots, you know, for the spots. And I'll either do that through the airbrush and then I'll use the ancient bone to kind of separate the splatters. And I use, sometimes I'll use freehand with the airbrush, or I use, one of the Death Ray Designs, template for the airbrush, just to, you know, just to break it up a little bit. I like those a lot. Wash it with Agrath Earthshade, and then I line highlight it with the Golden Blonde, which is from Reaper. And so I have it all written down. So I never, cause I, you know, like I said, I've been kicking the head a lot. I forget things. So, and then I have my bases and I have all the things in there. So I could refer back to this, and I try little color things, and you know, it's a good little thing to have. Like in, I have 3 pages of all the washes and how they look, because like, you know, a purple might come out very blue or very, you know, off. So I want to know before I put it on the model what color it's going to be. And I have it in here. But I basically used Nebula Red from Badger, the airbrush color. And that's it. And then just wash it with a mix of Agrath Earthshade and Null Oil to make it dirty. Because it's like, you know, they're moles on the ground. They're not going to come out looking, you know, with Izod shirts on and pristine and pressed and stuff. You know, they're going to be dirty and whatnot. And then all the drills, I'm using silver, rust, and then using a little bit of the technical paint, the Typhus Corrosion, to make it look like there's dirt on them. So they're digging with it. I think the Veermen are, they got drills. The drill isn't there to stab you with it. It's there to build a tunnel. But it just so happens that if you attack them, they don't have a weapon, so they're going to stick you with a big drill. So I think
I agree. The drill is a tool, and much like a pickaxe or like a hammer or something.
Right.
They're doing their job, but now they have to defend themselves. Okay, well, this will crush someone's skull, or this will skewer someone. I agree.
Right. Like the Forge Fathers, they all have hammers, but the hammers are being used to mine. And it just so happens that, you know, it's kind of like Okinawan karate, you know, all those weapons like the bow or the tuifa or nunchaku were all kind of farm implements that they used every day. And then, you know, I'm going to steal your stuff. And then they beat the crap out of you with a piece of wood with a string on it, you know? So, you know, that's the way I see the Veermen. It's like whatever's lying around. And it, you know, if you read the fluff, it's like, well, they're really beasts, but there is an internal cunning to them. Yeah. Cause they're using weapons and stuff that they use to drill. So it's, there's intelligence behind those, in my case, pink eyes. So, you know, but I'm digging it, man. These, you know, I was reading on Facebook, certain guys complaining about the models.
Really?
There's really nothing to complain about.
No, these are great.
I
have no complaints. Even the Khaleeshi, last episode, the angry episode, we were making fun of the Khaleeshi.
Mm-hmm.
On that live show, I put together those Khaleeshi, and they are awesome. Like they're so dynamic, and they're not very dead zone, but they're very nice models.
Well, fluff wise, I think they are. It's like, you know, they refuse to be in a cipher suit, so they're just the regular Khaleeshi who live in, you know, I mean, you know, the bikinis and stuff, you know, can go either way with that. But I understand the fluff. It's like, you know, we rebel against the sins of the fathers, and we're going to be the true samurai warriors of the Asterians.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is cool. But I think the bows and stuff, though, you got to bend them, because it's like you're always going to get shot.
Yeah.
You know,
or clip them off, make them with small little bows.
Yeah, like, or, you know, I was thinking of maybe clipping them off and turning them like gangster style, like sideways, you know, like the, you know, like
just be careful, that metal, man, it's fatigue on that metal is going to be quick. It's going to snap off.
Well, that's when you got to pin it and green stuff it and then use, you know, the glue. Yeah. Well, that's why you guys are done with your models and I take forever to paint mine. So, you know. Cause I like to do that stuff. Like, you know, clip it and turn it. And that's all the Ralph Parther days. You had to do that stuff because there was like plastic. The only thing that was plastic was the base that you put them on.
Even then, most of the time that was metal.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you just, it was all one shot. So
yeah, it's all pieces, it's the same piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack likes doing that too. I like modifying, but mostly I like getting them done.
I just want to make them different, you know, and that's like my Peacekeepers take them forever because it's just the line. I like to do the line highlights on everything.
Yeah.
And, but when I do look back on our battle reports and stuff, I'm happy with the way they come out because they look.
You can see them more.
Yeah. You could see the work, you know, sometimes you do something erroneously for hours and it just doesn't make sense, but certain little, I've cut out those things and I know what I like to make them, you know, to make them look good in my eyes, you know, my models.
Yeah. That's all that matters. As long as you like them, that's all that matters.
Yeah. You know, we were saying the 3 foot, you know, I want to not have a 3 foot army.
Yeah.
Countercharge. Countercharge is the first podcast totally dedicated to the game Kings of War. Join your hosts Andrew, Mark, and Rob as they delve into the world of Mantica and bring you in-depth coverage of all things Kings of War. You can find us on iTunes and at OhioHammer.com, a proud member of the Ohio Hammer Network of Podcasts.
Hey, this is Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast, and you've been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast.
With Jack from the Dead Zone Podcast.
So much Dead Zone Podcast, it'll make you vomit.
So, yeah, you were saying, so that was your viewman, and you all got some Peacekeepers started, or?
I'm waiting. I have 10 Enforcers, and the Peacekeepers, and the Extra Strider. That, you know, that we got. So, you know, we got the Peacekeepers, but I have 10 just regular Enforcers on sprues with, you know, the sprues with the shields and the incinerators and stuff. And what I want to do is I want to wait for the rules for Howlett to come out and then build an elite list because I obviously going to be an elite guy and build an elite list with him and use the color scheme for him. So he's like not a desert guy. Yeah. I want to make it, you know, like whatever, like, you know, Howling's blood letters or whatever it is, because I painted Howlett and my captain and my original enforcers like blood red.
Oh yeah. So
once those rules come out, and I was asking them about it, and they're like, "Well, we're working on it." Come on, man, I gotta clip some sprues here, man. Come on, let's go.
But like you got, you know, some more to work on anyway.
Yeah, you know, I want to work on this, so then when Howlett comes out, it's like, you know, an assault enforcer with a wrist blade. You know, for whatever points, but it gets a burst laser. Damn, I got to rip this arm up, put a burst laser on it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just waiting. Or, you know, because Howlett's combat guys, will they be able to take two more combat shields? Because they're, you know, defender shields. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what it is. So I'm just going to leave them on the sprues until they come out and model them for that. But everything else I've done, you know, with the Peacekeepers, everything, I'm digging it. We just had a Andrew and myself did Peacekeepers versus Rebs. I'm sorry, Pathfinders versus Rebs. And they're pretty good, but there's some stuff I got to change. I already see what I need to change. So,
yeah, hopefully you'll have videos for that to get tips and tricks for building forces.
Yeah, that's actually what I'm working on now, like how to build an elite list, you know, like – you know, but I want to play test it a little bit before I just kind of sprout off what needs to be done, you know, because, you know, we could theory hammer it all you want, but I want to have a good theory backed by play.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Make sure everything you're saying is true.
Yeah. Cause if I've done it, then it makes sense. I mean, I could just sit here right now and say, listen, take 4 jet bikes and, you know, 12 and 4 and Pathfinders, you win every game. And then you're going to get pissed because it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But there's so much to individual play style too. Mm-hmm. It's nice that, like you said, you're going to make a Howlett strike team and build a theme around that. Now we have the option. Now with these special lists, if you really like, if you really have that hero that you've always wanted that used to be a Merc, and now with all these extra models, you can do that. You can make them all look together and stuff. And you know, you want to build a list that wins, and I know you want to do that, but sometimes it's just you want to build a unit that looks awesome. And
right.
Well, you said for that too.
Yeah, I want to build, you know, like that list, but still hobby it up, and then from there pick what you're going to take. So, you know, if you have 15 models and like, all right, I'm going to build a list and I'm going to take these 8 guys and you guys aren't being taken. Even though I've done them and they're there, I know they're there because you never know. Like, you know what? Let me take him out and let me add the incinerator, or let me add the burst laser guy. So you know, you have time to play. The only thing with the elite list, why I'm waiting too, is because there's stuff in the elite lists are intentionally not put in.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I build up everybody with a, let's say for argument's sake, a pistol, well, these guys don't take pistols. They only take rifles. All right. I got to rip the arms off, you know, and although I'm fond of ripping arms off, I'd rather not do it to the models, you know.
You'll contain that to just people in general.
Yeah. Well, you know, let the Wookiee win.
And is there what else are you working on? Like, you've done you haven't even started your Forge Fathers yet.
You know what? I'm saving them for last just because I have enough to play with. And I want to get all the stuff that I don't have done and then work on that. Because I have the starter kits. And then I was lucky enough in the crazy boxes, I got like 2 sets of Steel Warriors, the old Steel Warriors, which now I guess are Storm Rage Veterans.
Yeah.
So I got enough to hold me through. Just, you know, the only thing is I wish they would re-release or send out the militia, because you can't find them, and they're the old Steel Warriors, so you can't order them. I mean, there's a picture of them in the book. They have like the bare arms. They're almost like Brockers, but with a little bit of armor on them.
Yeah.
But even in the Warpath Kickstarter, we're not getting any militia. You know, it's all Brockers and Steel Warriors.
Maybe that's something they can release, not in Kickstarter. Like they said, they were going to do monthly releases eventually. Maybe that's one of the ones they can do.
Yeah, I wish they would, because the picture's in the book. That one's actually in the book.
Yeah.
And then they said, well, we did that because people have old models. What?
You know, like, I wish I had those old models.
Yeah, what are you talking? Wait, first of all, I don't have the old model, and I've been playing this since it came out. So, what? So, you know.
They must have come out with the original Warpath, like, back in the day.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Well, one of the guys, you know, Fabian's got some, so we're gonna trade some stuff. So he says he's got a bunch of them. But nice. They were actually the Steel Warriors, and I think the veterans now were something else before. Like, they were the Storm Rage Veterans or something like that, you know, beforehand. Those are the guys, one guy's got the pistol and the hammer, and the other guys, 2 have, like, magma cannons and 2 have auto cannons.
Yeah, so they got those in Crazy Box too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, those are awesome. Those are nice. So I guess the Steel Warriors, I could paint them up as militia and then use those guys as the veterans.
Or even if you can, if you really wanted to kitbash, you use the Brocker arms, put them on the Steel Warrior bodies and kitbash that way.
Yeah, and then have Brockers with like the metallic
metal arms. Yeah.
Well, I did that. Like, I was missing on the Rebs the cannon. And I couldn't find the arm for I don't know where the hell it went. So I just took a Necron arm and I clipped it off, and it actually looks pretty cool. She's got a, she's holding the it's like the bazooka model, you know, and she's got it on her shoulder, but the front arm is a Necron arm. So it's almost like she's
like Furiosa.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, she's shiny and chrome. So, you know,
cool. And have you started any of the mercs, the metal miniatures, any of those yet?
I just put them together, but the first one I think I'm going to do is that ogre. I just love that model, man.
Yeah, he weighs a ton.
Yeah, he's got to be about a pound of metal, you know. But, you know, we're going to do a merc battle. We're going to do a battle report, just all mercs.
That's cool.
We've discussed doing that, just fielding 2 strike teams of just mercenaries just to see what happened. And just for fun, just to mix stuff up. I'm just still waiting for them to fix. I know I'm a broken record, but
we're going to talk about the stanza, right?
No, that's Rob's thing now. Rob, picking out her in particular, but
just in general, you want the stats to be corrected, really, and because they're still version 1 stats and everything.
We're in Dead Zone 2 Redux, but. Something that just didn't make the transition, and we got to get there. We got to get them sorted out. I listened to the Dead Zone podcast 14, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And they were talking, we were talking about how busted it was.
They.
In the third person.
Yeah, and that's kind of disturbing, Jack.
That was Jake and Roberto.
Yeah, those two characters, they were, you know.
I don't want to tell anybody, but I replaced Jack halfway through. This is Jake, not Jack.
Horse around.
We're letting the horse out of the barn here.
There you go. Yeah. All the secrets revealed.
Jake was the replacement.
Long and short of it was, Nastanza was broken back then and still is, and it's time.
And a lot of them are useless, too. A lot of the, like, as we always say, Simmons is useless, and Howlett's not very good for how much he costs. Like,
that's who I was going to bring up with Simmons. I understand why she's not. She's going to be a special. She's going to be a special army list person. But
well, I got to tell you that Nastanza, they did kind of nerf her in the way that, okay, so her sniper rifle has a sniper scope, and you know I think it's heavy. She's got a range 14 AP1, so she's got the best sniper rifle in the galaxy right now. But I think it's considered heavy now with the sniper scope.
Is it heavy? Do they put heavy on it?
No, but you know, because, well, this is the thing. It's just in the entry, it just says that. She's a save 5 with an energy field of 1. Now, what was she before? I think she had a better save.
Yeah, I think she was like a save 3 or something like that.
3 or something like something's like ungodly stupid. So, I mean, in the games that I've played against her in version 2, she's really a non-factor because you can get rid of her one really good round of shooting, use a command dice, add 2 or 3 dice to her, and just get rid of her.
But she isn't – that sniper rifle isn't heavy, though. She can move and shoot.
Yeah, I mean, even with that, you know what? You better hide because I'm gonna come right after you.
Well, that's the thing. You really have to hide with her. That's all. It's unlike the other sniper where you – he's got to get a good spot and he can control a little area. She can move and control a lot more area, you know?
Right.
That's the only difference.
Well, that's why she's dying first.
Oh, yeah. You definitely got to take her out as quick as possible.
Yeah.
And I tried that in the last game. It just, my sniper, he had like an open shot on her. He just whiffed. He just missed completely. And then she just shot him dead. And it was like, well, that just hurts. Because I had her. I just can't. I can't hit anything.
Rob's a fan of the sniper. Like, generally, when he... he'll field the sniper all day long, all day strong, and that thing is dangerous.
Right.
And he stepped out, he took a shot, missed, and I was like, I'm not letting him have a second go at that.
Yeah. Right.
They've definitely made shooting for the enforcers, I think, in the second one a lot harder. You can't aim and shoot anymore, so that changes a lot.
Well, that's when you got to decide you're going to take a holo shot. But then again, the Pathfinders tag special rule and also the army special rule is actually very good. You know, like, you know, if you have, I mean, I just ran a list with 6 Pathfinders. I tagged the crap out of everybody. So it's like, no matter what,
plus 1 and everything.
Exactly. And then, you know, you get elevated and the tag rifle is, it's like sniper light, because if you tag somebody, you can, get a plus 1 dice, you elevate it, now you got 2. So a sniper rifle is, honestly, everybody's elevated on, you know, you're elevating your sniper, so you're getting a plus 3 all the time. With a tag rifle, tagging somebody and elevated, you're getting plus 2. So,
and you can move, they're not heavy, right?
Correct. So, you know, you're still, the only thing is to tag someone is a special action, but you know what? You can move, tag them, and then have, you know, the other guy shoot them.
Or you can shoot, tag and then shoot too, right?
Yeah, you can tag and shoot, but I'm saying the first one that moves and does it. But then again, Pathfinders have Scout, which is a free sprint action before the game starts.
Yeah.
Yep, so you're already up there. You know, so, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, man, see, that's, you know, I was trying to make the Pathfinders work. And honestly, we could sit here and do this, but, I played a few games with them now, and I'm starting to see there are a few builds out there that might just work.
I've always liked them for the fact that they had the ability to be further in the field right off the hop. I don't think I've ever even used the cycle, that mono cycle. Mm-hmm. Not only just because I don't like the model, but because I didn't think it was necessary. I liked them as they were.
Right.
But especially now, now we're in Dead Zone 2. Now we have a, there's a whole bunch of stuff that we got to like play with. And when the special army lists are finally, you know, when they're settled, like I want to see a plague one soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it's going to, the fun building list is going to be, it's right around the corner.
Well, Ronnie said they're going back to Nexus Psi, and the problem with XM4 is the Veerman, but the Plague are still on Nexus Psi. It's still a dead zone. So we're going to get some Plague goodness out of it. You know, Dr. Simmons will be, you heard what I told him, right? He says, Dr. Simmons will be back. I said, well, you better fix it because she sucks. You know, so, you know, if you're going to, he's like, really? Her rules suck? No, Ronnie, they, you know, I want to
she
say
doesn't they blow, have any rules.
They blow chunks, but she's like, you know, she's just one of those mercs that you just didn't take because she was just the point?
Useless. Yeah, stage 3 general is way better than her, and I think it's cheaper.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Speaking of which, now that they've redone the stage 3s, the general, the just the troopers, the better sculpts, but Simmons was a bad version of a original stage 3. Her sculpt was pretty bad. She was not a good looking.
No.
She's carrying what looks like a sniper rifle, which I don't know why Dr. Simmons is carrying a sniper rifle. That's not really a sniper rifle.
And I think in her stat, she has a pistol.
Yeah, it's just really, it wasn't a good sculpt to begin with, I think.
And also the hand in the front was like oversized. It was almost like they wrapped her hand in twine and started to swell up. It was disproportionate to the rest of her body.
Because some of them had like clawed hands that were kind of stretched out, like, and they looked good on her. And then the hair, it was just not a good model to begin with. So I think now we need better stats, but also maybe it's time, like maybe a version 2 for her. But
well, you know, the original Dead Zone. And even the early Warpath models with Mantic, they were a little hit and miss. Some of them were good and some of them weren't good. And then there was those Mantic mold lines, which we all know about. So I think now, you know, I mean, fast forward to version 2, all these sculpts are awesome. There's no bad sculpts. I don't, you know, you might not gravitate to a certain model just because you don't like the style of it, but you can't take away the fact that these models are really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if Nastanza, you know, you can get, I mean, you can, you know, make her look like a swollen, like a sunken zombie faced with long hair, you know, like disheveled and, you know.
Yeah, Simmons, you mean?
Jacket. Yeah, they could really go to town with her and then just give her some kind of really good rule. Like, you know, I don't know, give her a slat where she gives out a mutation, but she picks the mutation. You know, like if you're in 2 cubes of her, she can mutate you with the a hyperjection or something.
Yeah, she like injects you and changes you. Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, but you want to know the hidden gem of the mercs? I feel is Wrath.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. All right, he's got a fusion gauntlet, which is a range 4 frag 3. It's 1 used, and then he's got the Praetorian pistol, which is range 4 AP 1. It burns. He's got the blade of the 7, which is an AP 1 blade. Okay. Now, he's moves 1-2, size 1, but he's got armor 1. He's got tough. Now, he does have rampage. That is his drawback. But his stats is shoot, fight, and survive are all 3+. So if he's got 1 armor, tough, and a 3+ save, I'm not too worried about rampage, honestly. And, it was the first merc. Him and Recon were the ones we got first. And we used to use him. He used to have that own agenda.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
Which, I don't know if you guys remember. Do you remember? It was like...
Yeah, Freya had it too.
It was basically like Rampage, but worse. So like 1-2, you did nothing. But on a 3-4, your opponent... Like 1-2, your opponent you know, chooses what to do with it. But on a 3-4, you just stand there because he's got his own agenda. I was like, that was what? So, you know, every time we used him, it was a 3-4 or 1-2. I'm like, oh, this is terrible because, you know, just to stand there, which, you know, guys are running around you like, I don't care. I'm going to stand here. I have my own agenda. You know,
it's dumb.
It was terrible. So, but, yeah, I like him a lot, man. That might be the first merc I'm going to paint. I know he's old school, and I've had him since version one, but, you know, I like him a lot. You know, him and Project Oberon.
Yeah, we don't have Project Oberon. He's the one merc we never got.
Yeah, I don't know where he is, but I use my nameless guy from the Dread Bowl team. He's got 4-4-4 stats, size 1, 0 armor. He's got scout, weight of fire. His needler is AP1, and he has toxic charge, which is range F AP1 toxic with an energy field of 1. So he's pretty cool. He's 28 points, 3 victory points. Oh, and Wrath was 32 points, 3 victory points. So he could be cool. That he could do a little stupidness, you know.
None of them are the Chovar psychic, so that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, and with good riddance to that Chovar psychic, man.
I just made a list with him in it.
That was the one we were going to play, and then we got stopped.
I was just about to test him out, see what the new rules had in store for us, and too bad Captain America and Tony Stark had a falling out, because we just saw what happened.
So it's Captain America and Captain Morgan, huh? All right.
that's Rob's drink of choice right there.
Psychic energy shield 2 with a 6+ save. That's my issue.
Yeah, he's pretty squishy.
Yeah,
he is squishy.
But
those psychic powers are powerful, though.
Yeah,
most of them don't need line of sight,
and you don't need line of sight, so you got to just put them somewhere and tank them up. The only problem is they're all range 4.
Put them behind a shield. Throw them a shield on them.
You throw an enforcer shield, but that only gives him armor 1. With a 6+ save, though.
Yeah.
Ew, that's worse than the 5.
It's not as bad. What is the Veerman? One of them has a 7 shoot.
Yeah, well, yeah, like that's a thing, really? Like, you know.
That's the first 7 I've seen.
Yeah, that's. I think that's the first 7 in general.
Yeah.
That's the Stalker, 7-4-5.
But I think.
Does anybody have a 2? Costanza has a 2, doesn't she? No, she's 3s, isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
Oh, the Abomination has a 2, doesn't he? He has a 2 fight, doesn't he?
He did. No, I think it's a 3 now.
Oh, they changed it?
Yeah, no, the 2 that when we were playing, did you guys have the beta with that? That was just, I mean, don't get me wrong, but yeah. Costanza's got a 3, 6, and a 5. So if you fight her, she's like terrible.
Yeah, if you can get to her.
Yeah, she's got a 3 shoot, which makes sense.
FOG Andrew and the coach here, and we would like to tell you about our YouTube channel, Family of Gamers 777.
Family of Gamers covers the hobby from topics like airbrushing, painting, building, converting, unboxings, interviews, and much, much more.
We go over in-depth tactics and battle reports of games like Dead Zone, Warhammer 40K, X-Wing, Kings of War, and Wild West Exodus.
So go over to Family of Gamers 777 on YouTube and become part of the family.
What's up, y'all? Coach here, and I'm coming to you with a little service announcement. We've been running a Warpath history video series, and we are going to be covering lots of factions like the Plague, the Veerman, the Forge Fathers and Enforcers, just all of them. What I like to do is get pictures from the community. So if you have some great pictures of your models, if you want to just send them to me on Family Gamers 777 on Facebook, just send me a bunch of pictures, a private message, and I could put them into the videos. And also, we are having a Dead Zone Monthly. Hopefully, you guys are watching this. And we like to bring along one or two community members who would like to be a part of it. So I have 3 rules for that. Number 1, you have to play and love Dead Zone. That's number 1. Number 2, you can't be a dick. And number 3, always remember rule number 1 and number 2. So you can get me on Twitter, which is FOG777 Coach. Facebook is Family Gamers 777. And just send us a message. Send me all those pictures. I want some Plague, some Forge Father, all the goodness that you've been working on. And we're going to put it into the video. And this will be great. We'd love to see your work. And we'll put it on a video. So take care. Welcome back to Coaching Friends, and today I'm joined with Roberto and Jake.
We're not big on proxying, so I have yet to play with the Aberration. Like,
I've used him six times. He's either been the MVP or he's out.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah.
The battle report. The battle report, Plague versus Marauders. That was, I'm proud of that one. That was the first version 2 Dead Zone battle report ever. And in the world. And, so what happened was the aberration jumped on the second level. He killed a commando and then punched another one off because he's got knockback. And then Eric had his Hulk jump up, had full line of sight. So it was basically like, you know, 3 plus 2, and then he had 1 or 2 command dice. I don't remember. So I was like, okay, you know, he's tough, and, you know, he's got a, you know, he's got a good save. I'll be fine. And he wiped me out in one round of shooting with the Hulk. And I couldn't believe it, you know. But that was just terrible, terrible rolling on my part, you know. But he's either the shining star, or he burns out quickly, you know, because you see the aberration coming. What are you going to do? Oh, let me get into a fight with him. No, you're going to take all the firepower you can to destroy him, you know, because he's 40 points and four victory points.
Yeah, that's a big chunk of your army right there. If you can keep him out the first one or two rounds. Yeah.
And then some of the missions, you know, if you take the guy out, like, you know, I don't recall the name, but it's like the Monster Hunter one, or, you know, if you kill the biggest model, you double it, or if you kill a specialist, it doubles it. So, you know, if you're getting 8 victory points for killing them, and you know that's part of your secret mission, you know for damn sure you're going to do whatever you can to get rid of this sucker. You know? So, I mean, his rules are good, but he's just a bullet magnet.
Yeah, you're going to concentrate fire on him.
Yeah. But by taking – if you take him – and the stage 1, 36 and 40, so you're at 76 points, and you're running a 200-point game, you could, I mean...
The rest is dogs?
No, I mean, there's so many cheap options. Even, you take a bunch of stage 2s for 16 points. They're only 16 points apiece.
They're so cheap.
Yeah. Or, you know, zombies are 6 points apiece. Dogs are 6 points apiece. The regular troopers are 10 points apiece. So, you can get expensive... And then just kind of, we'll, you know, put cannon fodder in there. Plague swarms are 20 points apiece. They're awesome too.
Yeah, they're tough.
And they're agile and tough.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Unfortunately, agile is not as good as it used to be.
No.
But, because it used to be super, well, what's their movement on the plague swarm?
1-2.
Yeah, see, they used to be fast.
Yeah, so. They used to be 2-3.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah, that was, you know, but I guess they're so, they, you know, They're really good, man. You know, with agile, tough, size 2.
Yeah.
You know, and a 5+ save, but a 3+ fight, you know.
Did you see the Z's now, or 7-7? 7 shoot, 7 fight Z's.
Oh, yeah, they are. You know what? Honestly, we've never even run Z's.
I think we tried it one time, and it was just, oh no, our friend Dave put, I think, some Z's in his army, and it was just useless. They died pretty easy.
Yeah, Z's are good. Z's are good. You paint them up and you put them on the shelf and just leave them there. Yeah. No, they're, you know, but they're scavengers, but they're 6 points, but they're 0 victory points. So, but
are they troops or are they?
Yeah, there's the bugaboo. They're specialists. So
yeah,
what's,
see.
So now with the specialist, you could take a Sorak, which the Sorak took a big hit. Cause he's got a blast weapon, which doesn't do any damage. Unless you fall or hit a wall. The Rebel Specialist, which is the, you know, you can do whatever you want with it. The Craw Warrior, the Survey Drone, which is a specialist now. The Juan Medic, the Grogan with either the Onslaught Cannon or the, you know, the other one.
Desolator, yeah.
Right, the Desolator or the Onslaught. A Territon. And then the last 3, which should be in every Reb's army. Do not leave home without them. A Saphir Lancer, Rin Nomad, and a Rebel Sniper. So, yes. Out of those 3, would you take a Z over any one of them?
No.
It's not a point. And, you know, I understand the mission. And I understand that they're scavengers and they can hold 3 things. But come on, guys. Really?
Yeah, it's just 3 things you're going to drop when you shoot them.
Correct. And he's a 6 survive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're terrible.
Yeah. No, it's just, you know.
And the other Goblin Sniper has now got a 7 fight, which is fine because they're goblins.
Right. But, well, you're not going to... I mean... the whole point of a sniper is not to get into combat, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
and
you know.
Yeah. And I look through every single thing. Nothing has a two. There's lots of threes, but no twos.
Yep, there's no two. That's the aberration did in the beta, but I'm glad they got rid of that. Because I think I think a three fight stat is or any you know, a three stat is the elite.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
yeah, it really is. Like even you know, and I'm happy about it that the Morbius is now four fight.
Yeah. You know? Made him a little less tough.
Yeah. But he's a beast, so I just don't understand why zombies are not beasts.
I think that's just a mistake. They just forgot to put it in.
So basically, they should just be like, you know, they're just zombies. Go out there, kill somebody. They can't hold objectives. They can't, you know, I mean, maybe they can't hold an objective, but they can contest an objective. That would be okay.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, all right, so there's four zombies in a square, but you don't own the objective. So now, you know, throw a grenade in it, blow them up. And then now I can get the objective. You know what I mean? So I think that's important because, you know, plus there's zero victory points. They're dirt cheap. They're awesome in a horde. They're just too good. You know, that's why I was saying, last podcast about, you know, not taking dogs and taking zombies because as of now, they're that good.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're going to get fixed, but we'll see.
Yeah. They should get fixed because it's just, that's really OP. And you know what? I was reading on the Facebook, you know, because Mark put out that, you know, hey, what do you guys want? And it became more of a wish list than an FAQ thing.
Yeah.
But, he was, you know, I put up a thing about the Forge Fathers, how horrible the splats. I couldn't think for a second. So their splats are horrible. And the one that you could recover a wound, it's not fair because everybody else's splat gives you an ability. The Forge Father one is like, okay, I have a splat. So you're lucky enough to roll a splat. I'm going to use it. Okay, I have a wound. I want to try to get rid of the wound. That gives me the ability to roll three dice, and I got to get three successes to lose a wound. And that's hard to do, you know?
It seems like you already got the splat. You should be getting something, but you're getting the option to do something that's very difficult to succeed in. Like,
right.
Well, the problem is you can't just say get a splat, save a wound. You'd never be able to kill a Forge one because you roll at least one splat. So they OP'd it and then they tried to fix it. I think that's what happened. They were like, that's a great idea. Oh, it's too powerful. Well, let's just make it harder to do. And then it's kind of.
It's kind of like, fiddly. Hey, look what I got. And then you get kicked in the balls.
Yeah. It's kind of fiddly for what it should just be something else. Well, didn't it used to be the one that you could repair vehicles or whatever? Is that a different guy?
Yeah, no, that was the one that it was in the beta, and I'm glad they got rid of that one because it's like, you know.
What if I don't take a vehicle?
Yeah, especially the Forge Fathers, you're not taking vehicles because if you're going to take, unless the one rule that was in the beta was, which was very good, was almost like life support, but it only worked on the Forge Guard armor.
Yeah. So
is the Forge Guard armor considered a vehicle? I know they're not vehicles, but is it considered like mechanical where it could be fixed?
Yeah.
Saving the wound or fixing the armor? Or are they like the dudes inside, you know? It's just, you know, regular dudes.
Make
like a Strider.
More specific, like just like in the Marauders, the commando captain only works on commandos. Like
right.
Yeah, could do much more specific. Okay, this whatever the which guy is it? Is the broker or who? No, it's the who's the guy that has that ability? Anyways,
they don't.
No, who did have it?
Oh, it was the Forge Guard. Forge Guard horse girl. Yeah.
So it's like only works on Forge Guard or something like that.
Yeah. Right. So it's like, you know, if you're going to take him, then you got to take some dudes with him.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm hoping they come out with an elite list where the Forge Guard will be troops again.
Yeah.
You know, because, well, that in version one, the Forge Guard were troops.
Yeah.
You know, but then.
And it could be with a special army list if one of the heroes is a Forge Guard, then consider all of them as troops.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with the elite lists and these special. Some heroes are just going to be much better than others to have.
Right.
But if you, like you, really like the Forge Fathers and you really like the Forge Guard, you you make a list and you want to play because that's what you really love, then that's different than min and maxing for the sake of having one.
Well, you think about it though, like, you know, because the Forge Guard are hard to kill, but if you make an elite list of them, let's say 150, 200 points, you're going to take about five of them because you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to give somebody some AP or something, you know, some kind of something shooting. And, you know, their fight stat is only a 5+. It's not like they're that elite. I mean, their shooters are 4+, the sabers are 4+.
They and got they're expensive. Support. Like they,
right. So you're talking 30 base. So if you want to take a missile launcher or whatever, everything is the Forge Fathers, everything is expensive. And it's almost like going, you know, you're buying a Mercedes. You start off with a base car, which is expensive. But now all of the stuff you're going to give them, anything you want to give them, you know, AP1, AP2, AP5, awesome. One victory point. You know, like a magma rifle, range 3, AP2, it burns. Awesome. I love it. 7 points, 1 victory point. So, boom. So now you've gone from a 3 victory point Forge Father to a 4 victory point Forge Father. Now I can also give them a missile launcher because they got the thing that clips on, you know, the Predator type deal. It clips onto their shoulder. I can give them, let's say, a magma cannon, which is 8 points with 1 victory point, and then a missile launcher, which is 8 points, 1 victory point, range 10, 8, AP5. So now you're saying, wow, that guy's unstoppable. But, you know, now he's 46 points.
And 5 VP.
Exactly. So now that's where I see the balance. All right, I'm going to take a guy like this. He's going to be great. He's going to be unstoppable. But you can still shoot him. You know, you can kill him in one round of shooting.
Oh, yeah. Honestly. Anything can die. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, every time I take a Forge Guard, I mean, you know, my standard thing is, I'm taking Steel Warriors or Militia with Forge Guard. That's what I like. Now, I don't know what my leader is. I'll go with, you know, the Steel Warrior or the Forge Guard Horse Guard, depending on points. Because the Strike It Lucky bull crap rule is just, you know, they got to change that. I'm sorry. Or I'm going to just write my own rule and pencil it in. Because it's just, you know, hey, you get a rule. I got something. I don't like it. So I'm going to pick from the dead pile over here. It's asinine. I think it's the stupidest rule ever. But, you know, every time I've taken a Forge Guard, they've always gotten killed the first round. Yeah, somebody decides to just fire 2, 3, or 4 models at it, and they kill the guy for 30 points, 3 victory points, you're already up. And that sucks. But, you know, that's the game. I think the Forge Fallers are balanced as far as their points and stuff because of that. You know, now, they hit like, you know, like a sledgehammer when you get slammed and stuff, and all their weaponry is AP1 and all that, and their forge hammers are AP1, but you're paying for it. You know, it's not like it's, you know,
and like they don't have great shooting in hits, like melee stats. They're not crazy great, you know.
No, like, no. And then the Brock is the only ones with the decent stat with frenzy, but mm-hmm. you know, they're squishy.
Yeah, they don't have armor. So.
No, they get killed right away, and they're not even tough anymore, and they don't have brawler anymore.
Yeah, a lot of things missing brawler, like the enforcer, that really hurts.
Oh, that's just, that kills the, you know, the assault enforcer.
Yeah.
And I don't care what everybody said, you know, there's that big debate on the Facebook groups, but the assault enforcers just really got kicked in the nuts.
They weren't great to begin with.
No.
But, to be honest.
But with brawler, it made a difference.
Yeah, gave you extra die at least.
Right, so, you know, you have a wrist blade moving in, and brawler, you're rolling 4, I'm sorry, you're rolling 5 all the time, you know what I mean? And then, you know, their fight stat, even though it was a 5.
At least you have an extra die to try to offset that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but now it's like nothing. You know?
It's when they took brawler away, they should have given a -1 to their fight stat. They should have been 4s.
Or, you know, they have frenzy 2.
Yeah, or something. I think the rules committee, they really screwed up there, and they refused to admit that they screwed up on that one.
Yeah, that's the one. Like, you know, all right, well, we'll listen to you, but we're not going to touch the assault enforcer.
Yeah,
you know,
it's strange because they always come up with these ideas, and then you're like, yeah, but the zombies—they're the same as a zombie.
Right, that's what I said. It, you know, and they were saying, well, the points and the victory point—he's only 1 victory point, but he's got a wrist blade.
I don't care. I'd rather have 2 victory points and a 4+. I'd rather be able to do something with him.
But let's remember, remember this, that a wrist blade is great because it's AP1, but 90% of everybody in this game doesn't have armor.
Yeah, so it's useless, yeah.
Right, so now, you know, like this is the argument I've had for a long time. I have an AP1 wrist blade, I could punch through a tank, I could punch through a strider, grab the guy by his neck and pull him out of the strider. But I get killed by a plague dog because when I stab him, the AP doesn't matter.
Yeah, doesn't help. It should have added to your, like, if any automatic hit or something.
I don't know, but all I know is that the assaultive forces need to be fixed because they suck.
Yeah, for sure. The only good thing about them is they're, what, 2 points cheaper than the regular
enforcer. And they're only one victory point.
Yeah. And once again, I give up victory points to actually do something with them any day.
Yeah, give them Frenzy 2 and make them 2 victory points, and now we're talking.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Well, I think we've talked a lot, and we've exhausted our conversation about hobbying, and we've been talking about other things. And I think in the future we should do like full episodes about each faction and talk the way we've been talking, because it's been really interesting to go through each one and to talk about the ups and downs of them and more about their fluff and stuff. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we like I said, we've been doing the videos, but it's good to have the banter.
Yeah, I think the free flow talk, you get more out of it too. Like we think of things and, you know. Anyways, so it's been a good episode. That was episode 56 of Dead Zone the Podcast. We'll be back for 57 in the future. I don't know what we'll talk about or when it'll happen, but it'll happen eventually. And I've been Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And I'm still the coach.
And we'll be back for another Dead Zone the Podcast. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions.
I'm a jerk off and, you know, come true. You know.
Well, that's an outtake I'm definitely putting in the show.
But you guys don't get it because you're from Canada land. Like, there's two types of people in the world. You're either a jerk off or you're a jerk off. So, you know, it's like, you know, when you meet a guy and you talk to him, it's like, well, how's this guy? How's Jack? You know, he's like us. He's like, you know, he's a jerk off. So you're a good guy. You know, you're all right. But then, you know, what about Rob? Oh, dude, you don't want to be around Rob. Why? Because he's a jerk off. You see the difference?
Yeah. It all makes sense now.
It all makes sense. Forget about it. And sometimes it just means, you know, forget about it.
We're learning things now.
Well, I'm trying to, you know, edumacate you guys. You're not taping this shit, are you?
Of course.
Don't make me get on a plane. Jack hates this, you know, podcast. So,
Jack likes listening to himself. That's all that matters.
Eventually, I think I'm going to be replaced, though. I think Rob's going to be like, no, me and Coach, we got this one. Why don't you sit it out?
How about you guys just replace me and I'll just edit them?
You would not like that at all.
I think Couch and Fiends might be the way to go, man. That's a shirt, man. Couch and Fiends.
I think it is. People would pay to have that emblazoned on their wear.
I would. I'd probably get a tattoo of that.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
Thank you for listening to Dead Zone the Podcast. And now a word from Captain Courage on Vinland Old Time Radio.
That's some fine writing on Vinland Old Time Radio. Counting the funnies on all my fingers.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.